I want to begin my message by asking a question. Fill in the blank, if you will. I would be happy if. Just fill in the blank. You don't need to share. I would be happy if. Some of you would probably say, well, I would be happy if I had better health. I would be happy if I had more time with family. I would be happy if I felt like I was appreciated. I would be happy if I had more time, or be happy if I had more money, or be happy if I had a better job. And there's many, many answers that people could come up with that they feel would really make them happy. But there's a problem with that. You know what the problem is? That happiness is based on circumstances. And what happens to circumstances? They change. Life changes. And sometimes rather quickly. Now think about this. If you're one of those people that said, well, I would be happy if I had just a little bit more money. How long do you think it would take until you would be happy if you had a little bit more money? Right? Because it just is endless. It goes on and on. Or somebody could say, boy, you know what? I would be happy if I just had a promotion at work and was able to have more, a better way of being able to provide for my family. Only to find that that added responsibility means that you work more hours. You work longer hours. And in the end, although you have more money, you have less time to spend it, enjoy it, and even scarier, less time with family. Okay? So be careful when you say, I would be happy if. Because sometimes those things that we think will make us happy will not truly make us happy. In fact, true happiness cannot be based on circumstances. Now, in Matthew's gospel, we find out about the birth and genealogy of Jesus, and then Jesus went off and he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And then he called his disciples and began his earthly ministry. And he preached this sermon that was even longer than the sermons I preach, okay? Just saying, all right? Even longer, okay? Anyway, he preached this sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And it begins in Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to invite you to turn there. We're only going to read two verses this week. I know, but that's the way it is. Jesus preaches this long discourse, and it begins with something called the Beatitudes. And we're going to talk about what that is. And that's going to be the basis of a sermon series that is going to take us through the summer. I think there's a total of 9 sermons in this series. If I have them, they're not all written, but they're charted. And so today we begin with just an introduction to what the Beatitudes are. But in Matthew 5, he begins saying, now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, now, I'm not going to read these today. You're going to hear them a lot in the future weeks. But he goes on and he makes a series of 8 statements, and every one of them begins with the word blessed. First of all, let me just say the word beatitude. Does anybody know what beatitude means? Maybe we should say it means have a good attitude, okay? But what it means is to beatify, which means a state of supreme blessedness. Supreme blessedness. Now, sometimes when we think of being blessed, we think of having all these things given to us by God. But that's not what he's talking about here, and it's important for us to understand this. Each of these 8 statements begins with the word blessed. And he's not describing 8 different kinds of people, like the one who is meek, but rather he's giving us a list of characteristics of a person who experiences supreme blessedness. These are Beatitudes, okay? Kind of giving us a key that it's what we ought to be, who we ought to be. And they're a description, I believe, of what every Christian is meant to be. They are not descriptions of super Christians or exceptional Christians, but rather they are characteristics that should be part of every one of our lives. And as we develop these characteristics in our lives, we will experience supreme blessedness. And I'm going to share with you not only today, but in the next umpteen weeks, what that means and how that works. Okay? Now, I think the first thing we need to understand is we need to understand what the word blessed means. On your outline today, I gave you a space, and you can write as much or as little as you want in there. But if we're going to understand this passage, we need to understand what blessed means. He says it 8 times, so we need to know. And so here's what it means. First of all, some of our Bible translations would be translating blessed as saying happy, okay? And I'm not that preacher, and you should know that by now. I don't pick apart translations because people can experience salvation through Christ, and they can experience transformation in their lives through each of the translations that are available to us today. I know there's people that get all bent out of shape and they hinge themselves on one translation or another, but that's not me, okay? And so, but I am going to throw a little bit of dirt when I say that happy is not a good translation for us. And the reason I say that is because happiness is not the same as this blessedness, okay? When we think of being happy, we think everything's going our way, everything's the way we want it to be, somebody did something nice for me, so I'm happy, or whatever. That's happiness. It's based on circumstances. It's based on what is happening in our lives. But it is not equal to blessed. No how, no way. Okay? Now, the Greek word, and I'm not trying to throw around anything that sounds like I'm intelligent, but the Greek word for blessed is makarios. And it is the same word that the Greeks used to describe an island in Cyprus, which was nicknamed the Happy Isle. They believed that it was so beautiful, so rich in resources, so fertile, that a person would never have to leave the island. And because everything that they would ever need was contained there. Now, there's a nuance of that in the meaning of the word blessed. Because everything that we need for life and righteousness and experience of God in our lives is available to us through these Beatitudes, okay? Everything we need. And so, in addition to that, we need to understand that here, blessed refers to relationship. It has to do with an inner satisfaction that comes from knowing Christ. It comes from having a relationship with Christ. It is that inner satisfaction, that blessedness. So the Beatitudes describe a special kind of, we'll use the word happiness in that way, that has nothing to do with circumstances. Circumstances aren't part of it. But rather, it has nothing to do with health, it has nothing to do with wealth, it has nothing to do with achievements, but rather it is a blessed state that is based on these characteristics in Christ. happiness is dependent on what happens. Blessedness is not dependent on what happens. Happiness is circumstantial. Therefore, it is uncertain. It is temporary. But blessedness is far more than happiness. Now, there's nothing wrong with the desire to be happy. That would be a good thing, okay? But everything is sometimes wrong if our desire to be happy takes us down the wrong road. Here, when Jesus begins this sermon, he says, you want to experience blessedness? These are the characteristics of life that you need to have. And as we look at the list, we can see a number of things. Being meek, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being merciful, being a peacemaker. These are things that provide for us a rich and full and satisfying life, a state of blessedness that is not based on what is happening around us. Okay? So today, I just have two observations that I want to share. And the first observation is this. The Beatitudes are contrary to our thinking. Now, the title of this sermon series is The Upside Down Kingdom. And the reason that it's titled that is because it is upside down thinking. It is contrary to the way we think. Frequently, people think having lots of money will make them rich. But Jesus taught in the kingdom of God, the poor are rich. Is that contrary to our thinking? Is that upside down? In our natural way of thinking, we may think that the person who is strong is powerful. But Jesus said in the kingdom of God, those who are weak are the strong ones. We scratch our head. How can that be? Right? In our natural way of thinking, we have the idea that influence and high ranking is just all up there. In the kingdom of God that is upside down, we find that it is the humble and the meek who are exalted. The kingdom of God is upside down. It is contrary to our thinking. And in order for us to experience blessedness beyond measure, Jesus said, you need to be poor in spirit. You need to be meek. Doesn't that make you want to scratch your head a little bit? You see, it is contrary to our thinking. It is an upside down kingdom. And the blessings that we receive, we receive from being, not from obtaining. The blessedness is found in who we are rather than what we get. One of the best-selling books, The Purpose-Driven Life, written by Rick Warren, includes this statement. And he says, and I quote, it is not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It is far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. And so, the Beatitudes are contrary to our thinking. Furthermore, observation 2 tells us that they are counter-cultural. Now, if you go outside of our doors and you ask people, what will make them happy, what will they tell you? They're not going to tell you, I'll be happy if I could just obtain meekness in my life. Or I'll be happy if I would just be poor in my spirit. They're not going to tell you that. Not at all. They have other views of happiness. Some of us share them. We think of blessed or blessedness as gaining God's favor or being in God's good graces where he's going to just shower us with blessing and love on us more. Sometimes we do all that we can because we think in human standards that we can gain more of God's blessing in our lives. Sometimes we think, you know, if I do everything right, if I do my very best to do what God says, he's just going to bless me more than the person who doesn't. Anybody find that true? Sometimes that's why these Beatitudes are upside down for us. That is why they are countercultural. Somehow or other, we don't consider those who are persecuted, poor, hungry, meek, and those who mourn as the ones who are the blessed ones. Instead, we think about those who are strong and mighty and rich and successful, those who are famous, as the ones who are blessed. Now today in our service, we're going to honor graduates. Likely in the minds of our grads is the idea that they're going to experience a state of blessedness when they are independent. Many young people think that when they're free from the boundaries of their parents, when they're free from the responsibility of getting good grades in high school, that they will be happy. They will be happy when no one can tell them what to do. Sound familiar? That may be common or some kind of an idea that we once shared. We may think that if God didn't give us all these rules or commands, if we could do whatever we wanted and it wasn't considered disobedience or sin and it didn't cause guilt, man, then we could really be happy. But here's the truth. A state of true happiness or supreme blessedness comes from knowing Christ and seeking to follow Him. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Let me say that again. True happiness, a state of supreme blessedness, comes from knowing Christ and seeking to follow Him. It is an upside-down kingdom. Submission, surrender brings freedom. That's upside down. We don't think about it that way. But that's the kingdom of God. You see, in all of our hearts, there is a desire to be free. A desire for us to be able to do what we want to do. We talk about kids graduating from high school and wanting to be free, but you know, we're all that independent. We like to do what we want to do. That's why we sin. That's why we even know what God wants us to do and we do what we want to do anyway, because we want to be free. So we think. We live to desire with a desire to please ourselves. And every one of us at some point in our lives has disobeyed God's laws and commands. In fact, the Bible tells us that everyone does. Even the person that thinks they don't, they do. Even by thinking they don't. The Bible tells us that when we disobey His laws and commands, the Bible calls that sin. And the Scripture clearly tells us that the cost or the wage or the penalty of sin is death. And the type of death that that's talking about is spiritual separation from God. When we sin, when we disobey God's laws, and everybody does, we are separated from God because of that. And here's why. God is completely holy, righteous, and pure. He does not coexist with sin. So, there's a separation that occurs. Now, but the good news is, in the second part of that, there's a free gift of God. It is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He offers that to us. Even though we have this idea that we would be happy if we were independent from God, if we could do whatever we wanted without feeling guilty or without being labeled as a sinner, the reality is that God, in His love for us, sent his only son to a cross. And Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. The scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, who does that include? Everybody. Everybody. No matter what their sin. Everybody. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. It is based not on the good things that we have done, but based on belief, based on faith. That believing is not believing in the existence of, but rather trusting or entrusting ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Believing that when he died on that cross, he was there as our substitute. He took our place. I have two older siblings, and I was often egged on to do things. Go ahead, Kevin, do this. Do that. Go ahead, do that. And I would do it. Sometimes I didn't do it, and I still got blamed because my mom would come, and she'd say, who did that? And they'd all point at me. And then I would be the one that would get punished. I always got punished many times for what I did because I did a lot of things, but also punished for things that I didn't do. There was never one time that I deserved to be punished. And one of my older sisters said to my parents, you know what, don't punish him, punish me. Go ahead, punish me. Never happened. Never happened for you? No. But it did happen for all of us in one case, Jesus. We deserve to be punished. Jesus said to his father, don't punish them. Punish me. I'll go to the cross. I will suffer. I will bleed. I will die. I will pay the price. And because he did that, we can experience life. And experience life that is abundant. Not because of our good deeds, but because of our faith in him. We experience a full and abundant life. And I need to tell you, you know, if you're thinking that a life that is, that, you know, like sometimes people say, I know I need to trust Christ as my Savior, but I'm going to wait because, like, you know, I only need that in the dear old by and by. I want you to know that we need Jesus in the here and now. We need him now. Life, that abundant life begins here. Can you imagine, if you know Christ as your Savior today, can you imagine what it would be like to go through difficulty and tragedy without him? Can you imagine? I don't even want to think about what it would be like. Because it's tough enough with him, right? So it's so important that we experience that now. And that abundant life does not come from just doing whatever we want. But that super blessedness comes when we follow what God says. And those characteristics that we're going to study in the next several weeks become who we are. So, let me ask you one question, first of all. How does the biblical definition of blessing or blessedness compared to your definition of blessing? Probably a little different, right? Because this is blessedness that is not based on circumstances. It's not based on everything going right. It's a state of being in relationship with Christ and experiencing these characteristics as part of our life, part of who we are. It involves relationship and it involves submission or surrender to him, right? And then I want you to think about this. As you look down at these Beatitudes and you see these various things, the person who's poor in spirit or the person who is meek or the person who is pure in heart or whatever, as you think about these various characteristics of these Beatitudes, what do you want to gain from this study? I would hope that you would make a commitment to be part of this study, that you would do your best to be here, to hear these messages. And on those occasions when you cannot, the sermons are available on our website. You'll be able to listen to them probably like 3-4 days after I do them. So they are there for you. But I would hope that from this study, every one of us would walk away understanding the kingdom of God, that it's upside down, that satisfaction, that supreme blessedness comes from who we are, not based on circumstances, not based on everything going right, but based on who we are in Christ and what He gives us. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful this morning for Your Word. We're grateful, Lord, for the privilege of being able to study it. And Lord, we look forward to what You're going to teach us. Lord, it is our desire to be conformed to Your image, to become the individuals that You desire for us to be, because we believe, Lord, that independence is not the way to blessedness, but rather dependence on You. So, Lord, teach us and guide us. I pray, Lord, that every one of us would be challenged today as we think about our relationship with You. Lord, I would pray that every one of us would have placed our faith in Christ, realizing that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He is the one that wants to bring abundance into our lives, even through these Beatitudes. We ask this together in Jesus' name. Amen.